The Accidental Entrepreneur is brought to you through our affiliate relationships with the following sponsors: Digital Accelerant, the digital mobile business card that generates leads. Text the word LAW to 21,000 to get connected and learn how to get your own digital business card. And by Fetch Internet and Fetch Pro, the secure high-speed app that eliminates the need to pay for hotspots or use public unsecure Wi-Fi. And Printify, the online on-demand print shop for all your corporate merchandise. Be sure to visit our online store and get your own podcast merch. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
And no one was doing it. No one really had podcasts. And I was developing a personal brand, right, to sort of tell my story in one place. Because everybody's like, are you an investor or are you creative? What do you do?
People say that to me all the time.
They're confused, right? So I'm like, how about you just go listen to my podcast? And that's where everything broke open. Because all of a sudden, I had an opportunity to give my clients and my network a voice, a platform to speak on. And I used it as free mentorship and coaching, because I spent tens of thousands of dollars on coaching. And I was like, oh, I can talk to who? Robert Kiyosaki.
Yeah, you learn from all these people, right?
For nothing.
What was your first podcast? Was it Entrepreneur Circle or no?
Entrepreneur Circle,
yeah. That was the first one, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And I've had, you know, amazing people that I was able to sort of tap into, like Randy Zuckerberg, who basically created Facebook. I mean, everybody knows her brother, Mark, but she was the marketing arm. She was the CMO that developed everything we know, like Facebook Live and fan pages. You know, he was the zero and ones in the corner, you know, drinking Monster drinks, typing.
Right, the programmer, right.
Yeah, exactly. So she came in, she was like, no, I'm going to blow this up. So, you know, she was sort of a, you know, an opportunity for me to like leverage her and her experience as a coach. And I got her on my show and I'm like, and you know, that just kept going. And I was like, wow, this is really cool.
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode. Just to remind you, the podcast is produced and brought to you by my legal practice, Beinhacker Law. We provide business and estate services to entrepreneurs, inventors, and other small business owners. Whether you're just getting started or you've been operating for a long time, contact us for all your general legal needs, from contracts to client agreements, from purchasing a new location to onboarding a new partner or key employee. We draft all types of agreements and handle most business transactions. For more information about our products and services, visit BeinhackerLaw.com or you can follow our link in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed today's interview.
Hey, folks. Eric Cabral here, and you're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur with Mitch Beinhacker, and you're in the right place to get the right content. And I am not an accidental. I am actually an intentional entrepreneur, but definitely tripped and fell along the way. So I'm hoping that you enjoy the show. Eric Cabral from Podmax. Take care.
All right, Eric. Thanks for coming on my show. For those people listening, we just finished your show. So we said, the heck with it. Let's do another show. So
let's just keep going.
So you asked me all kinds of questions, but I want to really tell your story because I don't know a lot about you. I mean, I've read your bio and I know you're a real estate investor and you're a crazy, crazy podcaster because you host shows, you produce shows. You're like the Wink Martindale or the Bill Todson of podcasting. So, So can we start, like, I don't even know, like, what's your background? Where are you from? Were your parents born here? Were you born here?
I definitely born and raised here in the wonderful and beautiful Yonkers, New York, which I like to say was the suburbs.
That's where Stu Leonard started, right?
I think so.
Yonkers.
I'm not sure. Yonkers.
You don't have a Yonkers accent.
I don't. I mean, it wasn't my formative years. I was born there, but we left when it got hairy. Because I believe if you go there now, it's the projects. But we were in a beautiful building. It was brand new. But it was slowly getting a little shady. And then my parents were like, let's get out of here. You know, Eric's getting in enough trouble.
Were your parents born here?
They were born in the Philippines.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, I come from an immigrant family. I'm the first generation here from my family.
Okay.
And, you know, we moved up to Newburgh, New York. That's where I spent my formative years. And, you know, did a lot of-
Newburgh's up the thruway there. That's up like exit 17, 18, something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And what's so funny about it, Mitch, it was a world away for me. People would be like, you moved where? And I'm like, I'm in Newburgh. And they were like, oh my God.
Yeah, that's the Sticks.
Yeah, exactly.
It's still kind of the Sticks. Isn't that where Poughkeepsie is and Vassar College?
Poughkeepsie's a half hour north of Newburgh.
Okay.
So, but Newburgh, come to find out later as I started to drive, it was only an hour from Manhattan.
Yeah, no, it's not that far, right?
And I'm an hour now from Manhattan. It's not far at all. So it's so funny how, like, perspective, you know, when you're a kid, like,
yeah.
I might as well take a plane to New York. I didn't know how far we were. But yeah, I mean, and then as I was growing up there, you know, trying to find myself and my identity, you know, growing up in the 70s and 80s, there weren't a ton of Filipinos. You know, people didn't, you're a Filo, what?
Especially
upstate New York. Yeah, you look like Bruce Lee to me. And I'm like, okay. I had the haircut and everything. I was like, cool, he's kind of tough.
Was he Filipino?
No, he's Chinese.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the only famous
people don't know.
Asian.
Right. In that day, that was it.
There were no Asians in America. I was the only
Jackie
one.
Chan was the only other one.
Yeah, he wasn't super famous yet.
No, right? He wasn't.
Yeah. He was a stunt guy, right? I think Rush Hour made him famous. But
you're right.
So I had to blend in, bro. I had to, like, I'm with the hip hop crowd this year. And then I'm with the headbangers and the stoners this year. And that's actually kind of where I stay. I was a preppy for a little while.
And was it like an upstate regional high school? Because a lot of those high schools, so there's kids from all over the area.
Such a good question. So all the elementary and middle schools were in the burbs. And for some strange reason, they mashed us all together in the city of Newburgh. And if anybody knows that, that's a spot where you need to watch your back. It's in the ghetto. And that's where they put everybody in Newburgh. I had a graduating class of over 800.
That's pretty big. I think that was my whole high school was it was 800-900 kids.
It was insane, dude.
Yeah.
So many of us, so many of us. So, you know, I found solace and I found my tribe most, you know, because it was pockets of these times, you know, with the headbangers and like listening to Metallica. And then I became a musician and I started bands.
Real metal.
The singer, the drummer.
Listening. Metallica's like easy listening now.
I know.
Our kids are like, that's not heavy metal music. I'm like, what?
I felt so betrayed when the Black Album came out. I was like, what is this? this ballad. You don't do ballad. But yeah. So eventually my father saw the writing on the wall. Like, this dude's going to die if I don't intervene here. They didn't know I was doing drugs.
Right. But you were in the fast crowd.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I was living the fast life, not stealing cars, but my parents' car, taking it out for joyrides when I'm 16.
Yeah.
And at some point my father saw, you know, I was getting into too much trouble with the law. You know, for minor things. I do not have a record. Just I'm talking to a lawyer.
Right.
So yeah. A clean record.
Well, but you're upstate New York. It's not New York City. So it's,
exactly. But they were keeping a watchful eye on this 15 year old.
Yeah.
And my dad said, that's it. Taking you to barber, cut your hair off, cut all my locks off. And then eventually over time, you know, the course of a year, when I got to my senior year, I was like, yeah, I think he's probably right. I need to start paying attention. You know, dressing better, stop hanging with the bad crowd. And I graduated, right? That was the goal. I got to graduate high school, but dude, I didn't know what to do. So my father was like, it's pretty obvious to him, not to me, but in my room was plastered like comic book drawings. I was drawing Elle McPherson and Cindy Crawford on.
No, you were talented. Like, you had some,
I had some skills. Yeah. So I was like, my dad was like, you know, he didn't tell me, he brought me, he's like, come with me, kid. You know, grabbed me by the ear and threw me in the car, the Mitsubishi Galant. And, we drove up state even further up to the Catskills to a little school called Sullivan County Community College. And dude, it was like heaven. When I walked in the door,
were you
like,
on the Jewish side of the Catskills or the French side of the Catskills?
Right in the smack dab in the middle of it.
Right in the middle? Okay.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Not where Buddy Hackett was performing.
No, that was at 17.
Yeah, yeah.
That was in the Western Catskills. And if you go up north from where you were, you get into Woodstock, that was all French.
Yes, you're right. Yeah. You're right.
My parents had a house in Shandaken that they sold during the pandemic.
Oh, wow.
They've had it since 1986.
Did they win on that one? I'm hoping.
They, you know what? Ironically enough, it was hard to sell their property. And then the pandemic hit. Then all the hipsters want to go up to Phoenicia and stuff. Yeah, they got like four offers, 2 days, all over ask.
Perfect timing.
So it was good timing, yeah.
Perfect timing.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So dude, I'm familiar with the area up there a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, it was beautiful up there. I didn't appreciate it because I was a city kid. I was like, what is this? We're in this. This is
yeah, you're like, sticks. Yeah, what the hell are we doing here?
Yeah, this is not cool.
Right.
But I did love what was happening. It was called commercial art at the time. So when I was like, yeah, I'm going to school for commercial arts. You know, everybody knows graphic design now. But back then, nobody knew. It's like, what does that mean, Eric? And I'm like, well, we're going to do billboards and direct mail and brochures.
Right, and all the posters. And
maybe I'd like to do some comic books, you know. And
novels.
Yeah, there was tons of artists with long hair and smoking weed.
No, that was perfect for you.
Thing. Yeah, I loved it. But I played around there and had fun. But I went into New York City after that because I wanted to continue. And then I got my BFA, my bachelor's in fine arts at School of Visual Arts. And that's where everything started to break open. And I learned a ton. And I realized, wow, I can have a career in this. Like I can make decent money. So I hit the bricks, started interviewing, and then, you know, long story short, 20 plus years in corporate America in the creative industry, though. And I landed in New Jersey because I was freelancing at the time. And it brought me out to a place called Bristol-Myers Squibb. I never heard of it. I never heard of Princeton, New Jersey.
That was on 206, right?
This was right off Route 1. Scudder's Mill Road.
Right. I know where that is. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's funny because I'll never forget my recruiting agency said, hey, there's a gig out here. They're going to pay you $55 an hour. This is in the 90s. I was like, what? I make half that. And so I went out and I never left. They were like, can you stay? And I'm like, sure. And I made a ton of money.
For $55 an hour, I'm staying.
And then they paid me a decent salary, you know, six.
But figures. What'd you do? Here you did like marketing stuff?
Yeah. So, you know, at the time they had consumer brands, Bristol-Myers, they had Excedrin, Kerry Lotion, Comtrex, Theragran, you know, all that stuff. And I was like, this is a totally, because when I was in the city, I was working on cool brands like, you know, Coca-Cola, American Airlines, you know, Amex, you know, sexy brands.
Yeah.
But so now I was like, well, I remember taking Theragran pills and then Kerry Lotion was in my household. So that was kind of cool. So I was doing stuff. I was working with, it's funny, I've never told this story. What's her name? The famous skater at the time, Peggy Fleming.
Yeah, Peggy Fleming.
Yeah, this photo shoot. She was like the spokesperson for Kerry Lotion.
Dorothy Hamill. Yes, she was like the first.
Yeah, Peggy Fleming.
Yeah.
And that was like my biggest thing. I was like, I'll never forget. I was like, oh, I'm so nervous. But that was the kind of stuff I was doing, direct mail, coupons, packaging, the whole nine.
She endorsed the product like she was a.
She was on all the billboards and the magazine ads. She was hot in those days. Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So her career I think was over at that time. But she was still young and probably in her 40s.
But she finished up the ice skating part of it.
Yeah. Now she was hawking Kerry Lotion.
Right, of course.
But dude, I mean, wonderfully, I met my wife there. I mean, I was blessed to be in a situation where it was like there was a lot of young creatives, you know, and we were having fun.
So is that like the early days of graphic design, basically?
Kind of. I think it was becoming more known. Like there was that this was a career that people could.
Did we have desktop publishing yet where you could create on a computer? I see you have the Mac behind you. That was my first computer in college.
I know.
The Fat Mac.
Me too. That's where the first time I ever used the Mac, I used it to type out my reports, you know, my first year.
I had a 128K Mac. I wrote a 5-page paper. The whole thing crashed. I had to get like the computer science guys to crack it open because you couldn't just pop it open and burn some new chips in there. Yeah. That doesn't work, does it?
It does.
It does?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. I have the mouse and everything.
You have a little 3.5-inch disc that'll go in there?
I do.
Nice. Yeah. Look at that.
I'm showing audience for anyone who's listening in their cars.
Right. That's a disc.
A disc. And it's funny because I never realized until I cracked it open one day, there's actually a physical round disc inside.
Of course there is.
I didn't know. I was like, everything's square.
What do you think was in the big one? The 5 1/4
Remember? Oh yeah, remember the big floppies and the PCs? Oh,
there's a disc in there.
Yeah, I remember playing video games. It was like choose your own adventure, and it would be like literally, if anyone knows the Matrix, it was just a green, you know, type going across the screen. And that's how I play game. You walk down an alleyway. I go, turn left. I would type in. And I was like, you open the, there's a garbage can in front of you. Open garbage can. And it was like, that was the game. That was me.
Yeah, I remember those. I remember those. That was funny. And there's no graphics.
No graphics. It was your imagination.
Right.
You know, choose your own adventure.
It was Dungeons and Dragons on the computer.
Yes, yes, exactly. So I had a 20 plus career building in-house creative agencies for various pharmaceutical companies. I worked for the top 10 of them, pretty much all of them. And at some point, Mitch, you know, I was going through my second layoff. But at this point, I was a creative director for the number one pharma company at the time. And I was privy to the numbers and the business. Like I was more hands-on in the business. Whereas before I was just a cog in the wheel designing stuff. Like, oh, Eric's the best designer, give him a logo. But now as a manager with, you know, a team of like 25 people. And when I was putting my resume together, it was the first time I was able to like brought the business from $500,000 flat for 10 years to 2.5, or I think it was 2.8 million in the course of a year and a half.
In your division.
Yeah, for that small creative agency when I stepped in. So I had a case study of success for the first time with numbers associated. And then I put it in my resume, Mitch, you know, the number two, which would eventually turn to the number one. They were always jockeying. And if I said the name, everybody would know. They were like, hey, we saw what you did over there. Can you come do that for us in New York City and Chicago? And I was like, oh, what an opportunity.
Yeah.
Because they loved, you know, they heard about me. And my wife was pregnant with our second. And I was like, what do you need of me? They said, you got to go to Chicago twice a month.
Like, just for the day?
For like a week. A week.
So I'd be gone
half the month.
Half the month, right. Every other week you're going to be in Chicago.
And I realized I'm probably 50% chance going to miss the birth of my second child.
Good chance, yeah.
Right? So I talked to my wife.
Wife's not going
to
hold it in for a week. You'd be like, listen, honey, I'll be home Friday.
Exactly. Yeah, and I'm like, that is not a scenario that I want, you know, to be a part of.
Right.
And then also, dude, I was miserable. I was the heaviest I had ever been. I was just working, commuting to East Hanover, New Jersey, which was an hour and a half each way.
Yeah.
And it was exhausting, dude. And then I just said, this is
where are you living
where
at
I want to go. I was living here in Robinsville, New Jersey.
Oh, and you were driving. How'd you end up there?
There's another creative agency in Princeton that I sort of
that you were with. And then you stayed there because your family's already nested there.
Yeah.
And you're driving all the way to East Hanover.
It was insane. Holy shit. I was miserable.
Yeah.
And I checked with my wife. I said, what can we do here? How much savings? How much runway do we have? Can I start my own thing? I think I can do it. Look what I've done here. And she goes, you know, we looked at the books and our savings. We're like, yeah, we got about a year, maybe 2 years of savings. You're good. If you want to play around and you want to take a risk. And I'm like, sure. Ooh, I'm glad you say risk. and I said, she goes, what are you thinking? I'm like, real estate. And she's like, what are you talking about? You don't know anything about.
Wait, you weren't going to go and start your own agency?
Exactly. I was done. I was like,
let's do something I know nothing about. That's
exactly
perfect.
Yeah. It was exactly. Cause I, at that point, dude, you know, your life and your mind shift changes when you have kids.
Yeah.
And I was like, how do I create legacy? I mean, I wasn't using that term. I was like, how do I create more wealth? Right. And I don't think this career path is going to do it for us because I hit a ceiling. I wasn't making, here I am going to get the best opportunity, create a creative agency in New York City and the middle of Chicago. And they're only going to pay me that much. Right.
Oh, it wasn't
that much more than I was making the year prior. So I'm like, I think this is it. I think I'm done. I'm not going to create legacy. So real estate was the answer. I just went all in.
This is what year?
2017.
Okay, yeah. So we've already been past the crash. That was 08 or something.
Yes. So yeah, just to clarify for the listeners here, it was real estate investing. I wasn't going to go out and sell homes as an agent.
Right.
So because I was Googling, I didn't know at the time, the algorithms work in a way where it's like, oh, we know what you're interested or potentially interested in. So somehow Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad, Poor Dad ended up in my hands.
Great book.
I read it. And as I was driving to my now soon to be over career, I was literally punching the steering wheel, Mitch, out of anger, frustration, and inspiration that I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I'm aware now. Like, there are rules of the game and I need to play those rules.
Right.
Like the big dogs do. And that's when I was like, I'm done. I'd never forget, dude, when I got that job offer to do the Chicago, New York gig, I was telling my, you know, my staff that I'm going into real estate investing. And they're like, what? And I couldn't stop talking about cash flow. And they're like, what are you talking about? They had
the game, you know,
you
mean?
Yeah, no, just the concept.
Just in general?
The concept of cash flow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, wait, I could. At the time, I wanted to flip houses. I was like, oh, I'll buy a house.
And no, you want to build cash flow. Yeah.
Yeah. But then eventually I realized, oh, no, I need to buy rentals. So that's what happened. I got into that. And, you know, I'll pause because I'm going on and on and on here. But that.
And you still have that company, right? You still have a real estate investment group?
I do. Yeah. Yeah. And we're buying more and more stuff, which is amazing.
Nice.
I'm more passive at this point. I'm not active. I'm not kicking the bricks and the sticks.
But you have guys that are doing it for you.
I have partners. Yeah. I've got powerful partners that's what they do. Their superpower is that. And it's not mine. And I just let the experts do it. So it's really
cool. So you're really a right brain creative. I mean, you're really because that's what gets a lot of entrepreneurs in trouble because look, if you said to me, listen, take Eric, he was in corporate America for 20 years. Who do you think he worked for? I would not be picking pharmaceutical companies at all. This Podmax, you know, radio guy. But you picked up some business skills along the way. So a lot of people that go into business as entrepreneurs, they're just all right brain. They don't want to deal with the numbers. They want to be creative. They're not careful about what they're doing. They're just, oh, so exciting. And that's where the accidental part comes from, you know?
So if you put it that way, then I am accidental because I'm still that way, Mitch. I can do the left brain analytical business side of things, but I recognize it's not my strength. My strength lies in being creative, but now creative in a sense that most people don't think of, you know, not, you know, making things pretty, nice colors and fonts and logos and design, creative in terms of solutions, right? Creative in terms of finding the right business strategy or business partners to align with. You know, you see us doing it.
Because you're not just like, oh, that's a good idea. Let's do that. Like you're trying to create a process and a program to what you're doing to make sure it all kind of fits together. Right. I mean,
exactly.
Yeah. The kind of podcast you're doing, the kind of content you're putting out, the people you're interacting with, you want it to make sense.
Yeah.
That's how you build. That's the only way you build value. If not, it's all the parts don't add up to anything.
Exactly.
Yeah. So how did you, how long? Well, that wasn't really that long ago. So what happened like when you came across Josh and you're like, oh, we should be on the microphone. What's, you know, like I could tell you the story of how that happened to me, but you know,
Before I met Josh and for anyone wondering, it's Josh Carey, my business partner in Podmax. I went to an event, you know, it was all about real estate introduced me to networking. I didn't know that was a thing. And when I did go to networking events, I was at a job fair, you know, I'm like, this is painful, right? Just sitting, talking to people, handing business cards. Yeah. They're like, I'm desperate here. Hire me. I'm like,
well, that's just like you go to a big chamber event. Everybody's just trying to give you their card and they want to sell you. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a terrible experience. So that's what I knew networking to be. But real estate investing introduced me to a community of like, I'll help you. I'll offer value in your life, an abundance mindset, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats, like all these like sort of religious type of beliefs. I was like, I'm all in. I love these people. I came from a world that was the opposite of that.
Right. It made you feel good.
Yeah. You know, creative. It was like dog eat dog. Don't look at my
You're like, I found
work.
My people.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, you know, I got the secret sauce. I'm not telling you how I did this.
Right.
No, everybody in real estate was like, come on, I'll show you exactly.
Because these people weren't insecure about what they were doing. No. They were secure. They want to help people. They recognize the people in mostly corporate America. They're usually insecure that you're going to climb over their back and take their job. Right. And when they're
exactly 100,000%. So it was so weird to be around people like that. And I was just so in love. And all I wanted to do was help and offer value. And like, that wasn't my DNA. I had to sort of change who I was in order to be successful. One thing led to another. Oh, I'll help that investor. I'll help him. They noticed that I was creating my own brands for my business in real estate, you know, logos, websites, social media. I was getting into social media and posting, you know, Gary V strategies. And they recognized it, right, in 2017.
Yeah, because a lot of them didn't have those skills.
Still don't.
Right.
Yeah. Real estate and no one was doing it. No one really had podcasts. And I was developing a personal brand, right, to sort of tell my story in one place. Because everybody's like, are you an investor or are you creative? What do you do?
People say that to me all the time. I got to
get confused, right? So I'm like, how about you just go listen to my podcast? And that's where everything broke open. Because all of a sudden, I had an opportunity to give my clients and my network a voice, a platform to speak on. And I used it as free mentorship and coaching because I spent tens of thousands of dollars on coaching. And I was like, I can talk to who? Robert
Kiyosaki. Yeah, you can learn from all these people, right?
For nothing.
What was your first podcast? Was it Entrepreneur Circle or no?
Entrepreneur Circle,
That was the first one, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And I've had, you know, amazing people that I was able to sort of tap into, like Randy Zuckerberg, who basically created Facebook. I mean, everybody knows her brother, Mark, but she was the marketing arm. She was the CMO that developed everything we know, like Facebook Live and fan pages. You know, he was the zero and ones in the corner, you know, drinking Monster drinks, typing.
Right, the programmer, right.
Yeah, exactly. So she came in, she was like, no, I'm going to blow this up. So, you know, she was sort of a, you know, an opportunity for me to like leverage her and her experience as a coach. And I got her on my show and I'm like, and you know, that just kept going. And I was like, wow, this is really cool. 100% of people I asked to be on the show say yes.
That's a good number. 100%.
It was crazy. Then I started to realize the power and I started getting other people, not strategically at the time, but people within my network who I really started to fall for, you know, man crush, as we were saying earlier, they would get on my show, dude. And then when they heard the episode release, they would go, oh my God, I had no idea it was that good.
Yeah.
Thank you. Do you do that for other people? I did it at the time. I'm like, what are you thinking? One.
You mean in terms of making a show for them?
Making a show for someone else in my network.
Yeah.
Who, here's the funny thing. Until this day, the top three downloads of my show that we went past 150 at some point, that milestone. The top three are business partners. So I produce their shows. I do their social media marketing, you know, under my company On Air Brands. And then we work deals together. Like we invest together. I mean, it's so freaking cool. The Real Estate Hackers Conference is a brand that we launched in a podcast. And my friend, Chad Gallagher, asked me to MC, and I was telling you about this conference, the first real estate conference live in Pennsylvania, Lancaster, Pennsylvania. So there's opportunities that just happen as a result of podcasting, which is
No question about it. It builds your brand. I'm in the process of kind of breaking off my personal brand from the law firm. I mean, they're still related, but you're right. I mean, I kind of have to find my voice there. People are asking me to speak, to be an advisor, to coach, to...
Here's a word from our sponsors. Uplift your marketing and reinforce your brand with a digital business card from Digital Accelerant. Use a text marketing combination to stand out in front of your competition. Digital business cards make you memorable and most of all help you bring in new business through its warm lead generator. Motion graphics, intro, outro, and inspirational videos can be added during setup. Text the word LAW to 21,000. That's LAW to 21000 to learn how to get your own digital business card. Suffering from slow internet speed? Worried about hackers? Fetch Pro gets the internet from your smartphone to your Windows and Mac computer without paying for a hotspot. Always get the fastest, most stable, and secure internet access on your computer with Fetch Pro. Follow their affiliate link on our website to learn more and get connected with Fetch. Printify is the online service that simplifies and automates the process of sourcing and creating print-on-demand products branded with your company logo, product, or service. Printify is a better alternative to pre-purchasing and warehousing your merchandise for distribution or sale. Follow their link from our website to learn how to set up your own online store. And be sure to visit our online store and get yourself some podcast merch. Follow the link in the show notes to learn more about all of our sponsors. And now back to our show.
And hopefully I can build that. Look, I'd love to do this for a living too. I love podcasting and talking to people. I'm good at interviewing people. I find people interesting, but it's the same thing. You know, I just kind of found my way, but I didn't come from your world. I was the opposite. I was not the creative guy. I was the numbers guy and the finance guy and the economics. I majored in college. And when people are telling me, well, you know, this does not apply to the real world. I'm like, well, so what the hell are we learning it for? You know, so that kind of stuff. And then as things changed in the computer world, I started seeing that, hey, I could do this myself. I could produce this myself. And it made me feel good to, and I still feel that way. I like creating things. I do my own editing because, I mean, I could, for $20, I could get a guy to do it. I do have some people I can plug in when I want to. I enjoy putting the final piece together. At least now I do. Maybe it won't be forever. But it's fun. It's fun learning from everybody.
It is.
So when did you meet Josh?
Josh came into my world because I was networking, and I met him at an event, and he was actually interviewing me, you know, so I came in, I was being interviewed on some shows, and like
he had a show,
The Hidden Entrepreneur.
Oh, he did already. Okay.
I bet you
Entrepreneur Magazine didn't chase him down, right?
No.
The hell are they chasing me down for?
I don't know. Because you're a lawyer. I don't know.
Probably. Well, I'm going to bring it up to him and say, hey, I know several podcasts that use Entrepreneur.
And
some of them are trademarked.
Out.
Well, they can't come after you now. You're trademarked.
I love it.
My application's pending.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So Josh was interviewing me at this event and we hit it off. And I said, hey, dude, I have a podcast studio in New Jersey. You live in New Jersey. And he's like, yeah. And he's like, what? And I'm like, yeah, it's a half hour from where you live. And he visited and he never left. he was like, he was a client. He was paying for services to use the
studio. You had like studio services where you could record and stuff like that?
Yeah. But meanwhile, all he was doing was hanging with the tribe, like with the On Air Brands team and getting to know them, and everybody was getting to love and know him. And then at some point, you know, I had the harebrained scheme to say, why don't I take all the podcasts that are within the On Air Brands network and all the people that I know want to guest on shows that are business owners and smash them all into the room. You know, we're in a co-working space and we had free reign because I'm really good friends with the owner of the building. And I was like, hey, I got this idea. I said to
this
Matt,
was the evolution of PodMax.
Yes.
Got it.
And I threw the idea out to my team and I threw the idea out to Matt Faircloth, big real estate investing, bigger pockets guy. And he's like, dude, you're crazy, man, but I love it, you know, because he knew it was going to bring dozens and dozens of people into the building.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was like, you're brilliant. So then I was like, well, thank you. So then I did it just to test it, did one, and I outfitted all the empty conference
rooms.
This
is when you did it in person.
In person, 2019. Right.
Where's the place, in Camden or Trenton or something?
It's in Trenton. Trenton. Yeah, it's right across the street from the oldest church in New Jersey.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool. So we were there. We're all by the government building, so it's relatively safe. So we did it. We had roughly 6 to 7 podcast studios. You know, we had our own On Air Brand studio, but that could only record one podcast.
So little different rooms that were set up.
All different rooms.
Got it.
And as entrepreneurs who paid a ticket price to get on 5 shows at the time, stepped into a makeshift podcast studio, and there was some of them, a world famous type of podcaster that I was friends with, sitting there waiting for them and interviewed them. And what was cool about it, Mitch, is I couldn't have predicted what happened was because people paid a big ticket price, $3,000 to get in the door. So I made sure everybody was taken care of, rolled the red carpet out, high level catering, you know, lobster rolls, all sorts of stuff.
Nice.
They loved it. Yeah. You should come when we do it live again. there was the right people in the right room because they all are high level operators and business owners because they invested, they had a marketing budget, right? These weren't startups that were kicking tires and trying to make ends meet. These were successful business owners and they started to mastermind and connect and partner on business. Like people were finding high level clients and finding like a business partner, like someone that needed an operator. And it was crazy. I was like, oh my God, look what's happening. So it was successful, obviously. We did 2 more after that. So we did 3 live. The second one, I invited Entrepreneur Magazine, Jason Pfeiffer, to speak on the stage, which he took the train down from New York City. And then after that, he connected us to iHeartRadio. They came and spoke on the stage. So I was like, whoa, this is kind of cool what's happening here.
Yeah.
And then 2020 happened.
Right.
And we're like, how do we figure this out? So we sort of just like for 6 weeks, put pen to paper. And we're like, let's just try it virtually, see what happens. And that's how I met you and all the wonderful people that the community has grown into because it went virtual. It's amazing.
So Josh was a partner with you from the beginning of the Podmax thing. So you were like, Josh, listen, you're obviously not going to leave my office. You're staying here. So you got to be my partner.
I'll never forget this. So he's part of, he's kind of just messing around. You know, he sees what we're doing on air brands. He's loving it. Podmax didn't exist yet. And eventually we did the first one. He came into interview, right? And he saw like what I did. And he was like, holy crap, dude. And he's like, this is amazing. He's like, I want to be more involved. And I'll never forget this conversation because he was, you know, we were all going in every day, just hanging out. He pointed to the Podmax poster on the wall and he goes, I want that. I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, and there were, meanwhile, there were other strategic partners in the room that were helping to build Podmax. I was like, dude, you and I need to talk offline about this. So we did the dance for a good year. Like he took no pace, just worked his ass off. And I was like, okay, yeah, you're a partner. We're going to work together, bro. We're in for life. We're getting married. Yeah, it was cool. It was he's a badass dude.
But he's been there since the first event.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. No, it's great. And now you guys connect with people all over the world, really.
My God. Yeah.
There's no limit to who I can refer you now that it's virtual. Maybe you'll do some local and some virtual. You can't drop the virtual altogether because you're going to shut out people that can't come by.
We'll always have the virtuals. Absolutely. What's happened with the virtuals, Mitch, which is really cool. And this is, I love how, you know, just business works because things just develop on their own.
Yeah.
You know, like gremlins, you just keep dropping water on stuff. the community has grown because it's virtual, like nationwide. Yeah. And we have strong brand ambassadors in major cities like Jacksonville, Florida, Dallas, Texas, Nevada, in Las Vegas. So my plan and our plan is to have local meetups where we have a contingency and build the tribe on a local level. And then eventually it all comes to one gigantic conference.
Yeah.
With thousands of people. And we're going to call it Podmax Palooza. And now it's a conference with 2,000 people doing what we do, recording podcasts, networking, mastermind, you know, keynotes.
Got to watch out for the Palooza thing. I think one of the radio stations did a something Palooza and they got sued by the Lollapalooza people. And I think they lost. No.
What is this? All these people trying to grab words.
Because Palooza, Lollapalooza, way it made up word, right? I mean, it's not a real.
Yeah. But
so you're still an entrepreneur is a different thing. It's in the dictionary. So, you know.
Thank you for bringing that up. Now my balloon is deflated. We thought it was brilliant.
Yeah. No, but that's basically your career. You have the passive investment company, right? And there's a lot of cross-pollination and overlap. Yes. And On Air Brands is really your creative studio now, right? I mean, you're doing, is it just podcasting or are you doing other stuff?
We used to do full-on marketing.
Okay.
Full-on.
Like you would take on a client and do their website and do their everything.
Their marketing strategy, their voice, their copy, everything. That's such a heavy lift.
It is a heavy lift.
It is a lot of work.
It
was constant pitching. So anyone who's in this industry knows you could pitch 10 clients. You got to do all that work pro bono. And then
you got to prepare yourself for the pitch.
You got to understand their business as if you're there. You already are hired.
Yeah.
And we did that all the time. And I would say our close rate was probably 30%. And
I couldn't
put the time into it, Mitch, anymore because Podmax was born. And I was like, what can I do? And eventually just shut itself off. You know, we still have marketing clients.
It's probably better though to pick a lane because you generally get more productivity about a focused business when you're just focused on a niche in an industry.
Right.
You know.
What happened is the podcasting became such a smooth sailing engine that it just operates without me, which is fantastic. You know, there's such a tight team there. they all know their roles, and a new podcast client comes in and it just, whoosh, you go into the machine and
you have a system of how you deal.
You know, it's like that music that, you know, from, you know, like from any factory scene, right, in the Bugs Bunny, you know, because that's what it is. I mean, it's high quality stuff. You know,
but you can't reinvent the wheel every time. That's not good for your clients. It's not good for your business.
But people expect a certain level of quality. When we produce shows, we don't just take on any client. It's fun. I love on-air brands, but Podmax is like really the beast that we've been just throwing fire wood, you know, just growing.
Well, because it's grown your community. So,
yeah,
you know, so yeah, no, I love it. You know, it's funny because I think the original service you had, the comprehensive service, people, you know, still need that. I think a lot of people approach their business and they'll throw a podcast in there or they'll write a ebook and they don't really have a strategy. Mm. Like if you're going to use a podcast, let's say, like I do for my law practice, right, as the center of my content marketing, right, I still have to say, okay, and I don't have the bandwidth that you do. I'm a solo guy. I don't want employees. I have some virtual people I plug in, but I don't have the resources at this point right now to like hire your agency when you were doing everything, right? So, but that's my set. So then from there, I say, okay, well, I got to make sure I have a blog so I can put up written content. And then and I'm very much like, listen, I'm not going to be the guy to have the pressure to produce all this stuff. So I've reached out to all kinds of people for, you know, guest blogging, you know, like maybe you want to do a guest blog about, you know, how to use podcasting as a means of growing your business. And then I got something on marketing from somebody, I got something on law from other people, and I put that out. And then, but I have a strategy, like people miss that part. Like they post something on LinkedIn for 3 days and they're like, you know, I put stuff on LinkedIn, but nothing happened. I'm like, well, because you did it for 3 days. I've been doing this for 2 years of the podcasting. It's just in the last couple of months where the phone starts ringing and the emails start coming in. But you can't stop. You can't just say, okay, we've produced 5 shows. We don't need to do anymore. You know, so I think people don't get that. It's a long, you know, who taught me that? Or not taught me, but pointed it out. Esar from E-Tribe.
Yeah.
So we did a dual show together.
Okay.
And he said, it's like magic, but it's not really magic. You just have to keep putting out content, whether it's blogging, whether it's video, whether it's audio, whether it's both, and just keep putting it out and keep producing good content, keep sharing ideas, and it will start to come back to you.
Yep.
Just do it selflessly because it's really not, it is selfish actually. And it just, you help yourself, but a lot of people don't, they drop the ball all the time. Even as a business owner, even as having, if you have a retail store, you better have a strategy to keep information out there and build a contact list. That's what people don't do either. They don't build an email list.
So true.
So, but you're the guru. So, you know, all this stuff.
I wish I were, I seek them out. Just to keep learning and leveling up. But it's all a process, right? It's all an evolution. You know, anytime we think like we know it all, then you're done, right? You're not
gonna evolve. God, you're finished.
You have no
idea. Don't breathe, you know?
Yeah. So I'm always looking for opportunities to be like, okay, what can I do differently? Did I do that correctly?
Right.
What's potentially hot or new, or, you know, what's the next Clubhouse or TikTok? You know, I'm always, that's the thing about owning a business where you can have a team of people that you trust and rely on. It gives me the bandwidth to explore and be creative, because
they're always bringing ideas to you, right? Yeah.
And less that, it's more they're operating the business and I don't have to worry about it, and it operates without me.
Yeah.
And then I'm free and stress-free to think like, okay, who's the next call I'm going to make? Like, I spend most of my days, Mitch, you know, on calls with big brands, on calls with people who want to JV with us, you know, on strategic sort of partnership, you know.
No, companies. You should be at 30,000 feet right now. You shouldn't be at picking up the garbage. That's
and
not
they
right.
understand. They know, like, oh, Eric's going to go MC at a conference. That's going to generate business. You know, people are going to love us. You
I'm going to keep my job, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, let's do more of what we're good at here at home and figure it out and build the businesses while he goes and does that and has conversations with.
Well, look, during the Greek and Roman times, there was so much invention and so much creation because, these guys had a lot of time to think. They had servants that did everything.
Plumbing.
Yeah, for them.
Somebody whoever invented plumbing, thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, but that's true. I mean, you need to look, Jeff Bezos doesn't sweep floors. He doesn't go check the warehouse. He did.
Right, right.
But he doesn't do that now.
Oh my God.
So you have to evolve if you're going to become an entrepreneur. And I also think people miss the point of, like you said before, about building value. If you're going into business, now, look, you could be a consultant. That's fine, right? But if you want to build value, you should have that as part of your strategic plan ahead of time. How do I monetize this? How do I sell it at some point? How do I get out and turn it, or just be able to be the e-myth entrepreneur where I don't have to come into work every day. I can just take the big meetings. Gary Vaynerchuk too. He's not selling wine anymore. Yeah. He's not even having the base meetings. He's only at the top of the food chain.
Yeah. So. It's such a good point that you make, Mitch, because I think the most common challenge in my experience that people have when I talk to them is they don't have a goal set. Like they don't know why they started their business,
right,
or
where,
you know,
it's
they
going.
Don't, yeah. They don't, maybe they have a goal that's like right around the corner.
Yeah. And they know where it's going day to day, but long-term they have no idea.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's people that I'm very close to where I ask the question, I'm like, are you, when you're done with this business, are you going to pass it to the next generation? Are you going to find someone to take over the operations, or are you going to sell it? And they're always like, what?
I don't know.
You've been doing this for 12 years. You think you can do it forever?
Right.
And they don't. Look what's happening now. It's a fire sale of businesses that are just either going to just close shop.
Yeah.
Right. Or sell it. And a lot of people don't even realize they can sell their business, sell the assets off.
If they position it right.
Right. So like if you go in with the intention of starting a business, knowing it's going to be legacy for you, you're going to pass it down to the next generation, or you're going to freaking sell it. Make that decision, because that's going to inform every decision along the way.
Yep,
every partner that comes in understands the ultimate goal. Gary wants to buy the Jets. Gary Vaynerchuk knows, and he keeps manifesting, putting it out there. It's going to happen eventually. We all know this, because you got to put the intention out there. You got to understand this is the goal. Dude, he's done. I think once he buys the Jets, we're never going to hear from him again, except if you watch football.
Right, press conferences for the Jets. That'll be it. Exactly, like Woody
Good
Johnson.
For him, dude.
No,
good
absolutely.
For him.
Yeah,
his
no.
Brother AJ will run it. Yeah.
Yeah, right. You're probably right. But you know, I think that's true, because people, and look, I do a lot. I told you, I do a lot of transactional work. So I sell businesses. Mm-hmm. I help people buy businesses. So I'm always on both sides of the fence. So I see businesses. I got a client buying a business, and it's I forget what they do, but you know, it's a $3 to $5 million purchase, right? Mm. This guy doesn't really have his shit together. The financials are not good. He's asking for things. We ask for things. He's got to go to a CPA. The CPA's got to go to the system. They got to run the report. I'm like, dude. And then I've had other businesses where these guys had a package together. They could tell you what they made in the last 10 years, why it dipped, because there's always nuances in your finances. And it gives confidence in the person you're buying from, or takes confidence away from the person you're buying from. You're like, you know what? Maybe Eric was just able to make enough money to like pay his bills, and there's really not a lot of value here.
Yep.
Or, well, Eric's driving a nice car and he's got all the numbers in line and he's paying his taxes and he's building value and he's got good relationships and he's got contracts in place and everything is in writing. This is something I can buy, and it's going to increase your value.
It's so good.
And I hire multiple.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that you point that out. I also want to highlight something. If somebody hears this and they're like, yeah, oh, cool, I made
it. I hope somebody hears this.
Yeah, at least my mom's listening to this.
Right.
So, if you do go in with the intention that I'm building this business as an asset, a valuable asset that I could sell at some point, good to have a marker on it. It's 5 years, I'm going to sell this thing.
Right.
So that when you build this business, I want to highlight that if you can create a business that operates without you, you're working on it and not in it.
Right.
You drastically improve the value, and you create the C-suite as well that can operate outside of the business. That is even better. That is a better deal for you.
Oh, because if the business is so reliant on you, then they're like, well, what the hell are we going to do when Eric's gone?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. You need
You're
to stay
a slave
for 10 years.
The business. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Now I become an employee. It's not going
right.
to happen.
They give you a pile of cash and you got to go to work and you're miserable again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We need you to stay till 2099. And I'm like, no, no.
Right.
And then I'm in corporate America again.
But that's the trick, right? To be able, can you move your office? Emis says that, right? Can you move your office 2 blocks from where you are and still be able to run the business and the business will run?
Right.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Dude, I took 6 weeks off.
Nice. Just to see if things worked out.
No, I
just
needed
to see
break.
If you came
I needed
back,
the break. I needed to get the hell out
was
of
still
busy.
There.
No, I went, it was there. They operated. I mean, I checked in. I zoomed in and stuff. But
yeah,
it's gotten to the point, dude, where I'm so happy and proud of the team and truly blessed. I brought on this killer operator, Meredith. She's just a blessing. And she has taken over the world. And she's using these businesses to leverage, you know, an experience. You know, I love Jim Rohn's quote. Don't ask how much you're going to make. Ask what you're going to become.
That's a good comment.
Right?
Yeah.
This opportunity is going to make me and turn me into something. And dude, I don't need to preach that stuff to my team because they get it. You know, I hire the side effect of hiring entrepreneurs into your business. There's so many pros. Truly outweighs the cons for me. But eventually a lot of them just go start their own business.
Of course.
I'm happy for them, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, we were part of your story. Now go tell us. Keep talking about PodMax.
Right.
But no, I find people though that I put a ring on it. I'm like, come in, be part of the family. Don't leave because this is just going to be beneficial for you and everyone involved. And yeah, I mean, it's just a blessing to have people. Because we all know as entrepreneurs, it's not the who, it's not the what or the how, it's the who, right?
Yeah.
Who is on the freaking bus?
Yep.
And then you decide where to go.
Yeah. And you know, ultimately, if you have really good people, the natural course of things are they're going to grow and they're going to move on and you're going to help them do something else. But there's always an opportunity to do things together and to keep growing. But I know now it usually takes me like 90 days to get episodes out, but we have a PodMax event coming up, right?
Oh, exciting. Yeah.
It's what, June 11th? Am I right?
June 11th. Yeah.
Okay.
2021.
So, and there's still room. So we're going to get this episode out and your episode probably like in a week or two, right? We should get it out soon.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Yeah. We're closing
registration. I need a little time to edit it.
June 4th. So yeah. Any time before then would be fabulous.
Okay. Well, I actually have an opening on Tuesday because I had a financial advisor on and her compliance people are giving us trouble. So I could edit it Saturday and then we get it out and you can get yours out. I'll put a Tuesday release.
We should
get out whenever you can do that.
My episodes go out Monday.
Okay.
Mondays, so we should definitely time it. I love how we talk about this stuff. Like people hear, this is what happens behind the scenes. This is marketing
right, yeah.
at its finest, people.
Right.
Like, yeah, yeah. If you can sync up like schedules and release schedules, it's just, the more the merrier because then now all of a sudden everybody's like,
could you have yours ready to go for Monday and then mine will go Tuesday?
For this Monday? I can.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's one that's scheduled to release, but I'll make it happen.
Or do a special episode on Tuesday and it'll coincide
Very
with mine.
True. Yeah,
I do that sometimes with the guys when I do joint episodes.
Here's the funny thing is my team, you know, everything is so smooth that when I throw monkey wrenches, I'm the biggest problem for them. Cause like, I'll go, oh yeah, Mitch is coming in or like,
we're going to do a special release on Tuesday. They're like,
or I'll bring on a client. They're like, you didn't tell us we got a new client. And I'm like, oh, okay. Sorry. And like, dude, we can't bring on more clients right now. We're building this. And I'm like, oh, sorry. But yeah, it's like, I'm the monkey wrench and I'm the bottleneck in the businesses. Like I just get out of everyone's way. And let
All right. Since I have this opening, I'll do Tuesday anyway, because it promotes PodMax and
hopefully
we'll get
some
more people.
I'll make sure.
So PodMax, just so people listening, it's a 1 day event on Zoom. We have guests and hosts. Hosts are free. If you want to come, you record three interviews, you'll match them up based on your bio. And if you're a guest, what's the cost to be a guest right now?
It ranges. Oh, so cool that you brought this up because it ranges from, I think, 800. See, this is me, the bottleneck. I'm out of the business. And then I think 1200 and then maybe $2,000, something along those lines. 8, 12, 2. But if you buy the middle, if you just go to the website, podmax.co, you'll see the middle package and the high package. I think it's called Elite.
Okay.
And All Star. If you buy the middle or the big package, you get the lower tier package free.
It's included.
You can give, so you'll get two tickets.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Get an extra ticket.
Yeah. So Mitch buys the middle package, Elite, and then now we give him the Pro package, which is the lower one, to give, to gift to someone, a strategic partner, a client, a friend. Yeah. So we did this once and people loved it and they're like, do it again. So yeah, we're doing it again. So anybody who wants to come in, podmax.co, and you'll see, and then we'll make sure that you get two tickets.
Eric, I can't thank you enough for coming on my show. I can't thank you enough for spending, I don't know how long we spent on your show, which people have to listen to. And I'm excited for the 11th. Everybody should sign up. We'll have a fun day. I think I'm a host then.
Yes.
Yeah.
I appreciate the heck out of you, brother. Thank you.
Thanks,
so much.
Thanks, buddy. Have a good one.
You too.
If you like the podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Amazon Music, and many of the other podcast directories. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is hosted and produced by me, Mitch Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about my legal services, you can find me on social media or visit my website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.